You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshi on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
with your knife. Running like a red disease. Running like a red disease. Ghetto people. Stop giving up yourself. Stop doing what you're doing to yourself, young. You got to learn to love yourself. Ghetto people.
You are listening to African Perspectives, where we review the issues of our day from an African worldview and African-centered perspective. This program is unapologetically African. It is a custom in the African tradition to ask elders for permission to speak, having been granted permission. To our ancestors, whose shoulders we stand on, to our elders, whose shadows we walk in, I greet you, my dear brothers and sisters, in the language of one of the greatest civilizations on this planet. It gave the world the basic disciplines of knowledge of science, math, architecture, music, writing, law, religion, you name it, we did it. The Greeks called it Egypt, but they called themselves Kemet, and Kemet means land of the blacks. I greet you all in the Kemetic language, the word of peace, Hotep. It is truly an honor and a privilege to pour libation because we truly do stand on the shoulders of those who came before us. We're going to use water because water has no enemies. Water is the great cleanser, the great purifier. Everything on the planet that lives, it needs water, from a tiny microscopic organism to a tall redwood tree. We pour water into the earth to invoke the spirits of our ancestors, and we say the word Ashe, which simply means so be it. So we pour this libation to God for all that God has done and for all that God will do. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to Mother Africa, birthplace of all humanity, everyone who has lived, everyone who will live in the future. We all have a common ancestral root in Africa. We pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. I mentioned Kemet in the opening. Kemet was the height, the apex, the zenith of African high culture. But there were others as well, as Timari, Punt, and Nubia. So we pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa, of Ghana, Mali, Songhai, Benin, Great Zimbabwe. Civilizations that were flourishing and growing while Europe was in a medieval or dark age. The University of Sankore at Timbuktu, an outstanding educational institution. So we pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the Ma'afa, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the Infakani, the great tragedy, uprooted out of Africa. Our brothers and sisters lay a carpet along the Atlantic Ocean. We're in North America, South America, Central America, and throughout the diaspora. So we pour this libation to our brothers and sisters who suffered the Ma'afa, the Infakani, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the great tragedy. We pour this libation in their honor and in their memory. We do not know their names, but because of them and their sacrifice, we are here. So we say Ashe. We pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement. If you ever heard me do a libation, you will know that we were not slaves. I repeat, we were not slaves. We were captives. What does a captive want to do? Get free. So we pour this libation to all those men and women who fought against enslavement. In fact, I maintain that some of us are more of a slave today than we were in our initial captivity, because some of us are a slave to vice, to corruption, to drugs, sex, and violence. So we pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement: Gabriel Prosser, Nat Turner, Denmark Vesey, Harriet Tubman. We always resisted. And we will always resist. So we pour this libation in the name and the honor of those men and women who fought against our captivity. We pour this libation to those unborn, those young men and women who will once again lead us back on the stage of human history as a free and proud and productive people. We sashe. We pour this libation to brotherhood and sisterhood, together for the union of family. We need each other. We don't have good family life there's a saying, conditions shape conduct and consciousness. The conditions in our community are bad. The conduct towards each other is not good. Because why? We lack consciousness. And consciousness is more than just awareness. Consciousness is a deeper understanding of who you are historically, who you are culturally. So once we begin to understand the importance of brotherhood and sisterhood together for the union of family. Brothers and sisters, let us all say, Ashe, Ashe.
You are listening Ashe. To Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Good morning, African world. You are listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network, on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. And I am your host, Baba Oshi, Hotep family. Hope everything is well with you today. Hope you had a good weekend. Hope you had a chance to do all the things you must do, should do, can do, and will do. And I hope the weather was accommodating for you to do it. But of course, if it wasn't and you needed to get it done, then you did it. You got it done. Because that's the kind of brother and sister that you is. And that's why we appreciate you. This is African Perspectives. We're here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., 10 to 12 Central, 9 to 11 Mountain, or 8 to 10 Pacific, or any other time around the world. But if you cannot listen to this program live, you can always go to our archives at timeforanawakening.com. At the top of the page, you'll see podcasts. Click on that. The drop down, you'll see African Perspectives. Click on that, and there will be programs that are dated and titled. But also, too, you can use the shortcut on whatever you use, you know, Google or whatever, you know, type in Baba Oshi in the search, babaoshi.net, BABAOSHI.net. And there will once again be programs that are dated and titled for your information and whatever. This is African Perspectives. We're here every Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Eastern. Other programming we have here on Time for an Awakening Media on Mondays from 8 p.m. to 9 p.m., from 8 p.m. to 9 p.m., Black Therapy Central with Dr. Mawia Kamban and Ntaki Kamban. At 9, from 9 to 10, Conversation Reparations with Brother Jamoke and Sister Lacey of Encobra. On Tuesdays, Black Reality Think Tank with Dr. William Rogers from 8 to 10. On Wednesdays, the Black Farmers Report from 8 to 9 on Wednesdays. If it's Friday and it's 8 p.m. Eastern, it's Time for an Awakening, brothers and sisters, with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard on Fridays at 8 p.m. Saturday from 7 p.m. to 9 p.m., the Sankofa Elders Council. And then on Sunday at 7 p.m., once again, it's Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. And the number to call is 215-490-9832, 215-490-9832. We Buy Black. We Buy Black, the largest online marketplace for American African-owned businesses, is WeBuyBlack.com. Brothers and sisters, get everything you need from American African-owned businesses, WeBuyBlack.com. Africa for the Africans. My good brother will be with me Wednesday, Brother Bamani Tayemba. He has a lot of exciting information for us. He had to reschedule the Senegal and Gambia trip the next year. I'll give you those dates. So the next trip upcoming will be May 24th to June 5th, going to Ghana. And then November 17th to the 28th, going to Tanzania. And then December 24th to January 5th, 2023, going to Ghana. Now, that trip will be $4,000. But the Senegal and Gambia trip scheduled for March 31st to April 10th will be $3,800. He'll honor the prices that he had set this year. And because that, once again, that trip was supposed to have been April 1st through the 11th. So it'll be March 31st to April 10th, 2023. And it's still $3,800. But he also has, there also is chances for land for sale and investment. The Black Star Repatriation and Pan-African Community in Ghana We'll get more information on that on Wednesday. Brothers and sisters, it's going to be exciting, so please hope you join me on Wednesday. But brothers and sisters, if you need to look at some pictures, some photos, go to facebook.com/Bomani. If you want to watch some videos, go to youtube.com/Bomani2007. Or give my brother a call at 404-931-9429. 404-931-9429. Africa for the Africans.org. Habashah Incorporated. Habashah Incorporated. Habashah stands for establishing. Excuse me. Man, I tell you. Sometimes I get that, helping Africa by establishing schools at home and abroad. And, of course, they're doing great work here in the Atlanta area. The programs of the Kashi Project. The programs are Habashah Works, Black Tar Roots, Sustainable Seeds, Golden Growers, and the Urban Green Jobs. And, of course, the Kashi Project in Ghana. The Kashi Project in Ghana help to support our efforts through a donation, one-time pledge or amount. All donations are tax deductible. And Habashah is a 501(c). So, the help is still needed for the Kashi Project. It looks beautiful. It looks beautiful. You have pictures and so forth. But the help is still needed, brothers and sisters. Habashah Incorporated.org. The LEDGE program. LEDGE stands for the Environmental Development of Group Economics, Cooperative Economics. LEDGE works in the four areas of human people activity: food, water, clothing, and shelter. Those things are of necessity. And that's what they're trying to definitely to provide for our people. With 12 projects in 6 different countries, over 170 employed, and over 260 members. Become a member of the LEDGE Group. Once again, if you are a member of the LEDGE Group and you're thinking about buying some land in Africa, you could do that for $250 an acre, only $250 an acre in Tanzania, beautiful Tanzania, Mount Kilimanjaro, safaris and so forth. Yeah. So LEDGE, the land for the environmental development of group economics. Abibia Tumi, ABIBITUMI.com, ABIBITUMI.com. Brothers and sisters, go to ABIBITUMI.com and make it a favorite. Buy things, purchase things. Also, too, once again, the educational components of ABIBITUMI.com, the presentations that they do, the learning of new languages, ABIBITUMI.com. All those things are available to you. ABIBITUMI.com. 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 Smai Pharmacy. Smai Pharmacy. SMAIFARMACE. Why? SmaiPharmacy.com. Brothers and sisters, go to SmaiPharmacy.com. If you are seriously looking to change the way that you are living, the way you're eating, the way you do things, you need to check Smile Pharmacy out. Give my good brother, Brother Jabril, a call. You can contact him at 7 to make, you can schedule an appointment to talk to him about, some changes you want to make in your life at 731-327-6229. That's 731-327-6229. And or you can email him at smaifarmacy@gmail.com. That's SMAIFARMACY@gmail.com. Smaifarmacy.com. Excuse me. Wadada's Healthy Marketing Juice Bar, located in the West End here in Atlanta, Georgia. In the West End on Ralph David Abernathy Boulevard, across the street from the Soul Vegetarian Restaurant, up the street from the Shrine of the Black Madonna. That's right. Wadada's at Healthy Market and Juice Bar has delicious smoothies and health drinks, pastries, and, all kinds of good stuff. On weekends, they have vegan food for sale on Saturday and Sunday. So check out Wadada's Healthy Market and Juice Bar. The Medu Bookstore in the Greenbrier Mall. Check out Mama Nia. She has a fine selection of books, postcards, greeting cards, gift certificates, t-shirts, figurines, and so much more. It's the Medu Bookstore in the Greenbrier Mall. The number to call is 404-346-3263, 404-346-3263. The Black Dot Cultural Center and Bookstore and Coffee Bar, located in Lithonia. Give my good brother Gazimde Ajamu a call at 404-519-8107. 404-519-8107. Afroletics has a store in the new Black Wall Street Market located in Stonecrest, right off of Interstate I-20, going east from Atlanta. Exit 75, Turner Hill Road. Turner Hill Road. If you're going east and you exit 75 Turner Hill Road, make a right, three lights, make a right, and bam, there it is. The new Black Wall Street Market. Us lifting us to economic development cooperative for our people in the spirit of Ujamaa. Us lifting us, their Thursday night broadcast every Thursday night from 9 p.m. to 10 p.m. on Blog Talk Radio. You can go to blogtalkradio.com/ULU. The name of the program is Dare to Win. Or you can call to listen or call to give a question, comment, or concern at 929-477-2789. That's 929-477-2789. Us lifting us. The Homeland Village and Cultural Gift Shop, Brother Abijah, he has a wealth of stuff in Macon, Georgia. If you are in Macon, Georgia, stop by at 2910 Napier Avenue in Macon. He's open Tuesdays through Sundays, so he's not open on Mondays. Tuesdays through Sundays from 11 a.m. to 8 p.m. Or give him a call at 478-256-1166. That's 478-256-1166. That's Homeland Village and Cultural Gift Shop in Macon, Georgia. Son got a sense. Sun Goddess Scents, your one-stop natural shop located at 4140 Jonesboro Road in Forest Park, Georgia, inside the International Discount Mall, Booth 225. That's right. Give our sister Shelly Amundsen a call at 404-434-7963. That's 404-434-7963. Sun Goddess Scents, your one-stop natural shop. Sanjay Dash Haiti, Sister Gabby has been doing outstanding work on the island of Haiti in the northeastern portion up in the hills area of Haiti. She deserves to be supported. Please, brothers and sisters, go to Sanjay, S-O-N-J-E dash Haiti, A-Y-I-T-I.org. Sanjay dash Haiti.org. Akaben Institute, I know today was. We're supposed to have had Baba Broody on today. And if I'd have had Baba Broody on today, I wouldn't be doing these announcements. But he will be on soon. He had to postpone. And so we're looking forward to the time that we can have Brother Baba Broody. In fact, on Friday when I had an appointment, I didn't broadcast. And my good brother, Brother Kwaku, played one of Baba Broody's Owens. And I got people calling me and saying, man, that was, yeah, well. Baba Broody comes on, or just listen to the program. You know, appreciate it. Appreciate it. Akaben Institute, brothers and sisters, the work that Baba Broody and Mama Yah have been doing deserves to be supported. So go to Akaben Institute. Make your check of money order out to Akaben Institute if you still do it the old way like I do. But now, of course, I use PayPal and Cash App as well. But if you do, make your check of money order out to Akaben Institute, P.O. Box 10786, Atlanta, Georgia, 30310. That's Akaben Institute, P.O. Box 10786, 30310. Cash App and PayPal, if you want to use the Cash App, the dollar sign, Yah, Y-A-A, the letter M, and then Baruti, B-A-R-U-T-I. Also, too, the books of Baba Baruti, prolific writer. Go to AkabenHouse.com, AkabenHouse.com, and check out the myriad of books that Baba Broody has written, which we're going to deal with one right now, The Inye Sesim of Daily Revolutionary Thought. February 13th. It is the tradition in African societies that when things get so terrible, the women call for war. In our tradition, women have accepted responsibilities of making the final decisions over giving life and calling for death in the extremes of dispute and disorder. They came into this responsibility because of their divine life-giving womb and their enhanced emotional temperament given to them in their innate physical and metaphysical connection with pain caused by death of life that they had to work so hard to birth and nurse into power. Our men have always understood why African women would be the last to call us for war. As bringers of life, they know more intimately than anyone else what war brings and takes away. Of all in our community, they are always the last to call for death. Right now, sisters are calling us to war, brothers. This should tell us something, for they have told us there is to be no more suffering of our children, our ancestors, those to come, and us here and now. And without contradiction, they have told us that the suffering of African people can only end through us taking to the battlefield to restore order. They are waiting for us to do more, much more than just protest. They rightfully demand action now. They're calling for death to give new life. Do we again have to wait for the Nzingas and the Ya Asantewas to shame us, to dress in our armor, to forego the critical duties of womanhood for us to stand as men and do the work of our woman's tears have so long called for us to do? Affirm, I listen to our mother's cries. Affirm, I listen to our mother's cries. Yeah. February 14th. Each day brings an opportunity for development. Each day brings the opportunity to start again and to continue with the work that you started the day before and the day before that. Do not underestimate the strength of each new beginning of each day. The strength of that new beginning is the springboard of your future. So take each day with great significance and each day with great confidence, great appreciation, because the day after is not promised. The depth to which menticide rules our fear is revealed in how easily and arrogantly, historically, sworn enemies can still daily murder us in our face in every way imaginable with impunity, and our only response remains conversation and protest. As time escapes, we must be real. If any substantial change is to occur in our condition and possibilities, if we are sane and lucid, we have to move beyond the point of knowing that no excuses, no explanations, no rationalizations can do. We have to move beyond the point of coming to grips with the fact that what we refuse to do is based on menticidal fear of standing as responsible warriors. Only a terrifying menticidal fear could account for such a degenerative inaction, especially when the daily atrocities committed against us occur wantonly and repeatedly, and we still reactively see our best coping mechanisms as seeking any arguable escape possible from the responsibilities of a glaring truth that has been in your face since before we were born. Warriors have no fear. Daily they affirm victory and act on that affirmation. Daily, they act to seek more active means of bringing a peaceful, more secure order to our lives and corrective justice to the creators of chaos. Daily, they progress away from insanity and stand. Affirm, I welcome the opportunity to offer what each new day brings. Affirm, I welcome the opportunity to offer what each new day brings. The Inye Sesim, brothers and sisters, of daily revolutionary thought. The Inye Sesim. I hope that you had a good weekend. I know I did. My grandson's team, his middle school team, they won the championship in exciting fashion, and he was instrumental in making it happen. Yeah, so I must say something about it. Yeah. So it was a nip and tuck game all the way. You know, each team had a 8-point lead that they both gave up even before the second half. And they went back and forth, maybe a few points here or there, 4 or 5 points here or there. So as the time was winding down, they were up. They were up by 2. And so they put my grandson in the game. And he's a good passer. So he made a good pass towards the hoop, you know, going towards the goal. And the young man jumped up there. He was fouled. He didn't make the basket, but he was fouled, and he made both free throws. And the game was tied with a few seconds left. I think it was like 14 seconds left. But unfortunately, they didn't get themselves in good defensive position, and the young man from the other team raced down court with the ball and scored. So now they're down 2 again with 6 seconds left. And he has to take a ball out, you know, and go full court. So he can't. It's not like the NBA where you'd call a timeout and you get the ball at half court. That don't happen. And so they had practiced this with my grandson making this long pass. They had practice. And so just as they had practice, he made the long pass. The young man, the same young man that he had passed to for the who made the free throws, he reached up and got the ball. They fouled him again. Now there's just about 3 seconds left, something like that. And so then my grandson made the pass to the young man who had got up, made a move to go towards the ball, got the ball, faked up, took a step back, three-pointer, bam, bottom, swish, game. We won by 1. We were down 2, we won by 1. Man, went crazy. Yeah. Yep. So I'm proud of them. That's 2 years in a row they won the championship. You know, 2 years in a row. So, yep. So I'm still trying to work with my grandson to get him ready for high school and beyond. Yeah, the Super Bowl played yesterday. And I don't know if you went to a Super Bowl party or if you just chilled out at home to watch the game and, you know, made your own party favors and had a drink or two. I remember some good old Super Bowl parties from way back in the day. But I went to my cousin's house with my family after the game. And it was cool. We had some favors and, like, you know, some dip and chips and stuff like that, food. And I was pulling for the Rams. I didn't really care, you know. But I don't know for those I was looking for feedback about the halftime program, and a lot of the feedback was positive from the old school rappers, Snoop, Dr. Dre, Mary J. Blige, 50 Cent. 50 Cent made an appearance. So it was cool. So since I don't have Baba Baruti today, I'm going to talk about African consciousness. A brother sent me a piece by Dr. Mumbi Saraka. I don't know if you've seen Sister Mumbi Saraka. And I played a couple of her pieces. One piece I played I don't know if it was last year. Might have even been last year. It might have been 2000, talking about the number of bases, that military bases that the West has on African soil. You know, I'm just going to say this, and I'm going to keep on saying it. The only solution for Africa and for Africans is unity. The only solution for Africa and Africans is unity. Functional unity. Brothers and sisters. Functional. Oh, I was going to say something too about Valentine's Day, since it is Valentine's Day. You know, and how that came about. Eh, forget that. But if you want to be loving and so forth, then you go ahead and show some affection to a significant other. You know, and you should be that way all the time. That's what I say. But if you want to do it on this day with flowers and candy, yeah, or some other objects or dinner, whatever, then you do that. Make somebody feel special. You know, somebody sent me something online. I sent it to a couple of sisters and said, you know, I don't believe in this shit, but you deserve this because they're good people. They're beautiful people. Good sisters, you know. So, but yeah, I want to play this by Dr. Mumba Saraki because we are at war for the minds of our people. We are at war. That's why those two, if you listen to me, if you listened when I read the Inye Sese on both of those pieces, February 13th and 14th, from the Inye Sese, talked about that. Talked about the menticide, talked about the sisters who call us to war. Our families talked about it. And how we as men must not shirk our responsibility and come together. Yeah. So I'm saying to us right now, brothers and sisters, we must prepare ourselves. We must prepare ourselves. This is Dr. Mumbi Shiraka and beautiful sister.
Africa, for perpetuation of communion with ancestral spirits through the fight for African freedom. And in the firm faith that the dead, the living, and the unborn will unite to build. Destroyed shrines.
Hello and welcome, beloved, to the Dr. Mumbi Show. My name is Dr. Mumbi Saraki. How are you doing? How's everything going? I really do pray that you are well in all your ways and that you're moving into living life truly on your own terms, in your own story, in your own narrative, because that is what the seasons and times require of us. I really want to thank every single person that supports us on Patreon and PayPal and enables us to continue to bring the shows to you concerning our awakening, because, beloved, a splitting is up ahead. You know, a crossroads is up ahead where some will choose to go left and some will choose to go right. The decision making started in 2020. It's not been easy because both, you know, the one side in particular has used all kinds of, you know, psyop and psychological manipulation, mind control, you know, repetitive kind of just ramming certain agendas down your throat. So unfortunately, many may not make it to what I want to call the new world, you know, the new kind of gate, you know, the new, how do I call it, the new production that's kind of unfolding, and they will fold with Babylon. Because right now, beloveds, there's going to be two different worlds as moving forward. And it is so important for you to get your consciousness back, because everything, colonialism, slavery, you know, the engineered poverty, HIV, you know, Ebola, the pandemic, everything has been about this. Everything has been religion, education, everything has been to bring you to this point of confusion and to this point of obscurity where you don't even know yourself. So you can't even truly make an informed decision of next, where you really, you know, I mean, people have just fallen from mighty beings, mighty creators, you know, to crying spiritual babies, wondering if they're going to a heaven or a hell. Heaven and hell are right here, beloveds. Heaven and hell are figments of our imagination that exist right here. And I'll definitely do another show on that. But we must, you know, we must start to really control our consciousness, beloveds, and raise up our consciousness and really, you know, avoid people with different kinds of consciousness, because we really have to protect our minds, because it's been about this. It's been about, you know, do you get the jab or do you not get the jab, et cetera, et cetera. And I have a lot of more information, a lot more on, you know, our Patreon page. So please, if you really want to just have the, you know, a well-rounded information so that you can make the best decision for yourself and your family and even to share, consider joining our Patreon. And the links are definitely down below. But it is really time, beloveds, for us to move into a place where we start to protect our consciousness, which means we almost have to go into like wartime survival mode mentally, which means that right now you can't indulge in just watching all the entertainment and movies and TV shows. You really can't indulge, and you can't give your consciousness to that, you know, because that continues to build it. Like I realized the Grammys or something was trending here in Kenya on Twitter. And then I realized, you know, the Babylon system is even making certain subjects that they find interesting trend globally so that it can kind of attract all these, you know, the mental energy of all these people who will see it and think people in their countries are discussing it, and then they'll comment on it. Because before I used to think, why are Kenyans discussing Harry and Meghan's interview with Oprah? Like, first of all, I mean, do people even know it was a CGN? Let me not even go there. But beloveds, it's really time to protect your consciousness, because everything you're seeing out there is not as it seems. There's a lot that's being engineered to just mash you up mentally and keep you in this lower state of confusion, you know, doubt and fear. And when what you need is full clarity, you know, full faith in yourself and the spiritual team you're moving with, and really an, you know, a clear situational analysis. And so this is the time, beloveds, where we have to really dial back our lives. And as I said, number one, you can't just watch everything. You can't just listen to everything. You have to have already decided by this point what your narrative is. And then everything you listen to should reinforce and support and uplift and help you overstand the narrative that you are choosing to walk in. So you can't be here and you're looking at what's happening over there, which is also why, and someone had written this in the comments and I completely agreed, even with the pandemic, we've got to not make it such a big part of our daily lives. I mean, the global media system, which is controlled by like five people, five entities, and et cetera, et cetera, has been pushing that agenda for so long to create the panic. They're not creating the panic and the fear that they want because people aren't giving them their attention. And so pull back your attention, beloveds. And that's the one advice you can even give, you know, because I know there's a lot of family members, beloveds, that are really in so deep because they watch CNN and BBC and all these things, even local news 24/7. So for them, they're like, when's the vaccine coming out? Where can I get it? Or whatever, you know? But they're just not even seeing clearly what's happening with the Babylon agenda. So one of the things is just encourage people, less time in front of the tell lies to your vision. Less time in front of the screens, because the technology has gotten so far right now, beloveds, that they can even create an interview like Harry, Meghan and Oprah and make you think all those people really had that interview and it went down like that. But the technology is so advanced where they can make something like that that didn't even happen, that was a figment of someone's imagination, actually appear real. And I'm not saying that, you know, people need to do their own research. I'm just giving an example because that's what's on people's minds. Because a lot of the people that people followed are no longer who they really were, you know? The machines have taken a lot of these people, beloveds. So really be careful with what you're watching. Let's take a short break. We'll be right back. Wake up, wake up, wake up, wake up. Wake up, Africa. Welcome back, beloveds, to Wake Up Africa. My name is Dr. Mumbi Saraki. How you doing? How's everything going? Today, I'm really just talking about protecting your consciousness, moving like it's a wartime season, because that's what it is. We're at war mentally. There's an onslaught of our minds to wear us down. And only the fittest of the fittest of the fittest mentally shall survive, which is why I keep saying, have an agile mind. Stop holding on to absolutes and feeling like you'll die for narratives that you weren't even there to witness or that have been told to you, and really start to just work on elevating and raising yourself, raising your vibration, raising your power. Because so many of us right now, not us, sorry, so many people right now are spiritually weak. And when you're spiritually weak, that's when fear can penetrate you and make you make some decisions that you otherwise wouldn't make if you were in your normal, calm, sound mind. And with the whole pandemic and everything that's going on, there's an agenda to keep you kind of off balance, because all these things of fear and anxiety and kind of being this stuck energy all create that. But we must protect our consciousness, beloveds, first of all, from what we watch. I mean, and there's so much, you know, like every time I go on YouTube, like when I'm actually working, I'm noticing how much they're promoting certain agendas, like interracial relationships are being promoted excessively in Africa, you know. Other things are, because, you know, it's not random what video, TV, what shows you get, et cetera, especially LGBTQ kind of, you know, the soft kind of introduction of them, that their channels are also being promoted excessively. So you can't just walk onto these YouTube streets and walk onto these internet and social media streets without your defenses. And your defenses is to know clearly what you're going to look for, and to really be walking with full consciousness and discernment. Because there's certain things that I used to just love watching that my spirit has refused. I can't give my energy to that anymore. And that's so critical. Secondly, you really need to shut down and shut out the voices of those who are totally in, you know, like, I don't want to say those who are not part of your truth. Like, if you've made a decision of where you think the world is going, then many people most likely aren't on the same page as you, but you can't risk the future of your bloodline so that you can appease others. This is really the season, beloveds, for adulting, where it's really about every man for himself and every, you know, woman kind of making those decisions, those informed, wise decisions moving forward about where they're going to live. Because, you know, life is not going back to normal, beloveds. I've been saying that the whole of 2020. We're now, you know, many countries are now celebrating the 1 year anniversary of lockdowns or curfews. You know, life is definitely not going to go back the way it was. And now we're going to start seeing the ramifications of governments closing their nations down, etc., etc. So you already need to be on your way, beloveds, before the sheeple, the masses, start to wake up and get agitated. You already need to have your food stocked up, your water stocked up. If you're living in Africa, you need to be out of the cities and towns, living in some community where you've already gotten to know your villagers, and not in a fancy schmancy house, but in something that is just off-grid, you know, beautiful yet manageable. I'll definitely be showing, sharing some of the things that I've been doing with my off-grid in the future, as spirit leads. But these are the things you should be concentrating on. And so, you know, if there's parents or cousins or friends who you've tried to debate with and they're trying to convince you to do one thing and you're trying to convince them to do one thing, beloveds, that time is over. That time of trying to waste your energy to convince anyone, it's over. Let everybody, unless someone comes and asks you what opinion, then definitely arm yourselves, because it's painful. I know a lot of people, like, this whole situation with the pandemic and the mask and everything is splitting families right down the where some family members are like, no, CNN has said this, blah, 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 I've heard this, I've heard that, and they're going one direction. And you're seen as a conspiracy theorist or the one. But it's reached a point now where, I've said this before, you just have to now prepare your heart, beloveds. Because it's going to reach a point where if someone has taken the mark, you literally can't hang out with them. Like, literally, that's where we're heading. So you need to really protect your consciousness in that way. Protect what you're, you know, protect what you're watching, protect the kind of conversations and interactions that you're getting into. And also try and disconnect your life as much as possible from the daily grind that you've always been into. Because, you know, there's a lot of research that says if you do something for 21 days, it becomes a habit. So they usually advise people, like, if you want to stop smoking, if you want to stop drinking, if you want to stop this, whatever you want to stop. You know, try stopping for 21 days and then your system will adjust itself and then it will be hard. And I feel like we have to try that, you know, even if it's hard, like the very, even if it's just the first step, start doing that 21 days of moving into your new life where, you know, maybe the first 21 days, it's 1 hour. But if increasingly you're spending more time in the new life you're creating for yourself than in the old life, because you'll find ways to manage, you know, and there's a lot of pull right now from the Babylon system with work, with bills, with money. They're really just, you know, working it so that you still even, you know, you're kind of on autopilot, but don't be on autopilot. Start to make plans, start to learn things online, you know, and the things to do is like get a talent, get a trade that you can, get a skill, get your children to pick up a skill. There's so much information online from most, you know, soap making, all kinds of stuff, how to make oil. Carrots, etc., etc. Like all these things. I don't know what you fancy or what you feel called to, but these are the ways that you should be using your time, and you'll find eventually it will gain its own momentum and it will become a bigger part of your life. You know, spend more time in the spirit, in your spiritual realm. Remember to always move in silence, beloveds. Remember to always move in silence, because I think it's really that time now. Like what needed to be said has been said. But now is the time and season for action. So just, you know, make sure you're protecting your consciousness. There's so many other things I could say. If you have any, please put them in the comments below. I absolutely love, you know, to read all your comments and kind of see where people's minds are at. And there's many, many other things you should be doing. Remember, protect your consciousness. Get more and more out of Babylon. That's what you should be spending 100% of your time on, or at least 80% of your time on, is getting out of Babylon. And anything you're seeking should be informing you, uplifting you, because even good vibes is really powerful. But not, you know, avoid those things that put you in fear or in confusion or just really are a massive distraction. Until next time.
Wake up, Africa. That's right. Dr. Mumi Sharaki. And I don't know if you, she's out of Kenya, but if you can, you know, I get them on WhatsApp. So whatever, how you can get them. You know, get that sister. She's on. We're going to talk about consciousness, African consciousness, the attacks on our minds. We talked about menticide last week, too. So it's ongoing. Because what are we trying to do, brothers and sisters? What is our end game? You know, what is our end game? That's something that a lot of times we don't talk about. You know, what is our end game? And I know it ain't. I sure in the hell know it. It ain't. To try to be a part of this system, be a part of what Urugu has created for themselves, where we will always be marginalized, or always will be. And I know there's some of us who would be willing to accept that, to have the creature comforts that it could provide, even though to live in a neighborhood surrounded by Caucasians, sending your kids to be the only kid to be in that school, and to have the job and a promotion where you might be making six figures because you live in a six-figure house above, or maybe even a seven-figure house, the way stuff is now, probably a seven-figure house. But the bottom line is, that's their world. I'd rather struggle in a world of my own choosing than to be a fool in somebody else's dream. This is their dream. This is theirs. Let me play this right quick before we go to break. So when I come back, I got some stuff I'm going to play. that I got offline that we're going to listen to. I'm going to check this out. This is some good stuff here. That I picked this. Brother sent me this. And I don't know if you got it. I don't know if you got it, but I hope that you do. It's some good. It's a good piece.
Do you, I mean, do you believe that? Do you believe all white people are inherently racist?
So I don't know if you're backing me into a corner with that question, but yes, I do.
All right. First of all, I'm going to start off by saying the audacity of this white woman to even ask such a question. They were having a dialogue about critical race theory, and she just threw this question in there. But since she did, let's get at it. This type of question is like asking, are all people inherently thieves? A lot of people will say, I've never stole a thing in my life. But then the question has to be asked, have you ever been put in a circumstance that strips you down to the core of who you are? Like, would you steal if you were starving? Or have your children ever been hungry? Your answers change based off of things like that. Well, the legacy of white supremacy has created a world that white people don't have to be racist in today. This is why it's so crazy when you run into somebody who actually is racist. It's like, you guys won and got away with everything. What are you mad about? What are you tripping about? Follow the language. Wherever you find their language, you will most likely find the most brutal forms of rape, torture, murder, pedophilia, slavery, deception, etc. How many Africans do you have speaking French, but they're not from France? Go all through South America, you'll run into black, brown, and red people who are speaking Spanish, and they're not from Spain. Ask the Congolese people what happened when they came into contact with the white folks coming out of Belgium. Over 10 to 15 million of them murdered, mutilated, killed, children's body parts being hung up in the middle of the streets to make an example of who's in power there. Go to Brazil and see original people speaking Portuguese, but they're not from Portugal. Ask the Aborigines what happened when they came into contact with white folks in Australia. Hell, I'm speaking English right now, and ask the African and the Native Americans what happened when we came into contact with the English. Go to Bermuda and watch the Queen of England on their money, etc., etc., etc. The same story. Different countries with different white folks who all woke up with the same idea to go around the world and brutalize indigenous people. So the barbaric whites come in and take everything, and then the good whites come behind and drink tea and treat you right, right? Maybe you don't have to show inherent racism because you inherited a legacy of racism that affords you the privilege to not have to be racist. Yeah, it's easy to be nice when 91% of nuclear warheads is owned by Russia and America. How we all act when Africa is a superpower with weapons of mass destruction like every other independent nation, Because ain't nothing more dangerous or racist than a scared white person. Could you trust a nigga with a trigger? I do believe that there are solid white folks in this climate who may want better for all. White people today have the chance to show a better face through action, not through lying about history. Like how public school taught me that the first president, George Washington, never told a lie and then skipped over all the slaves that he owned. Bottom line, our days are trying to figure out if there are some good white folks. Those days are over. Our only job is to produce independent culture that empowers us, that protects us, and that makes us less vulnerable to every damn thing.
Ashe, produce independent culture. It's about culture. Man, brother's on point. We're going to take a break. When we come back from the break, we'll talk more about this. And I hope you join us. I want you to get in on this conversation. You can dial 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. Also, too, I see a number of y'all in the queue. You know, hit star twice and you can join the conversation. Hit star twice, you can join the conversation. So, brothers, you're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network, on timeforanawakening.com, and blacktalkradionetwork.com. You stay with us. We'll be right back.
You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshie on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
Rocking music, music, music on my mind.
You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Welcome back, brothers and sisters. Once again, you're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. Happy music. Yeah. I love happy music. Other programming we have here on Time for an Awakening Media on Mondays, Black Therapy Central from 8 to 9 with Dr. Moya Kamban and Ataki Kamban from 8 to 9 on Mondays. And then from 9 to 10 on Mondays, Conversations, Reparations with Brother Jamoke and Sister Lacey of Cobra. And then on Tuesdays from 8 p.m. to 10 p.m., Dr. William Rogers is the host of Black Reality Think Tank. And then on Wednesdays, the Black Farmers Report from 8 to 9 on Wednesdays. And then on Fridays at 8 p.m., it's Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. And then on Saturdays from 7 p.m. to 9 p.m., the Sankofa Elders Council. And then on Sunday, once again at 7 p.m., Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. And the number to call is 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. Yeah. That was Greg Lamont Hill, not the brother who was talking, but it was on his program when the Caucasian lady talking, they were talking about critical race theory, which is some bull. But he said, do you believe all white people are racist? And he was like, you're trying to back me up. But yeah, you know. And then the brother gave a good explanation, making a salient point. I loved it. Yeah, I play that every now and then. That's a good one. These are hard truths that African people should try to avoid, because, you know, dealing with an evil entity, dealing with evil, the captivity of African people and its deep-seated impact continue to stall the progress of our people in America and throughout the African world. The monumental task of advancing our people's interests beyond the effects of our captivity and colonization requires that we accept a few hard truths to get ahead. In the words of the Honorable Marcus Mogarvey, if you, African people, cannot do what other men have done, what other nations have done, what other cultures have done, then we will have to die. No, we won't have to die. We will die. We will die. Colorblindness. Colorblindness is a disempowering narrative. To teach African people to see culture in an intrinsically racist society is to disarm our people from the properly identifying the threats of organizing around them. One key threat that African people face is global, European, Caucasian, extremism, racism, and privilege, better known as global white supremacy. And it's culture-based. See, I don't use the word race. When I see the word race, I automatically think culture. When I see the word Caucasian, I automatically use Caucasian. When I see the word white, excuse me, when I see the word white, I automatically use the word Caucasian or European, you know, because they're not white and we're not black. And there's no such thing as race. But the culture-based ideology and institutions, psychologist Stephanie Freiberg writes in her book, When the World is Colorblind, American Indians are Invisible, a diversity science approach. In a colorblind world, Caucasians, who are unlikely to experience the negative effects of opposing culture, can actively ignore the continued significance of racism in American society, justifying the current social order, and feel more comfortable with their relatively privileged standing in the society. We believe we are stronger because we turn the other cheek. Now, I mean, you know, when I'm saying these things and then with a little small narrative and you think about it, I mean, you know, it's the conditioning that we have, the religions that have been imposed upon us, the culturalization of European imposing their culture on us and basically the world, which causes us to think and behave in this way. We are weak, not strong, when we align ourselves with the most pacifist verses in the Bible. As one of the most religious groups on people on earth, and see, there's a difference between religion and spirituality. And it's the religion that affects us so adversely, especially European religion and even Mideastern religion. Yes, I know some good brothers and sisters in Islam. I do. You know, and I've had some brothers and sisters on the program as well as Christians, as well as atheists. In fact, I keep thinking of my good brother. I'm going to try to get him on, see how he's doing. Haven't heard from him in a while. Because, and if you haven't, brother has a good documentary out. I'll talk about that later. Okay, where am I? Okay. And one of the most religious groups of people on earth, there is little reason why we remain at the bottom economically and otherwise. The following biblical verse should replace the turn the other cheek mentality. If you're still into religion, he says, this is in Luke's 22, chapter 22, verse 36. Jesus is quoted as saying, but now, he says, if you have a wallet or a pack, take it up. And if you don't have a sword, sell your robe to buy a sword. Yeah, so he ain't talking about turning the other cheek on that one. Yeah. Education is not cultural neutral. From kindergarten to the university level, Western educational system is designed to teach students of all cultures to value and propagate the interests and cultural of the Western European people. Professor of African Studies, Dr. Leonard Jeffries, said, and that's a fact, to impose that their culture on us. Dr. Leonard Jeffries said in 1991 speech at the Empire State Arts, African Arts and Cultural Festival in Albany, New York, I think we have to understand that although we like to think of education as neutral and politically neutral, education is a part and parcel of this racist system. I say. So in other words, the Western educational system is a participating and supporting institution within the broader context of European, Caucasian extremism, racism, and privilege, better known as global white supremacy. Now, African feminist ideology is based on fantasy. It is a fantasy because it does not deal with the reality of how African women became second-class citizens in the world. Contrary to popular belief, prior to the Arab and Western European and captivity of African people, most African women lived in matriarchal societies where African women's power and influence was institutionalized. In the Inye Sesim, I pointed that out to you, the sisters will call to war. They will say, brothers, let's prepare for war, because they know what it deals with, having given birth. Feral Z tells Liberator magazine, and let me read a few of these, brothers and sisters, and you hit star twice and let get you in on the conversation. Tells Liberator magazine, did the African woman first start being abused by Caucasians in the 60s, the Harlem Renaissance? No. It was when the first African woman lost her husband to captivity. Then they came back for her. Then they came back for her children. Then they came back for the rest of her family. African women are abused in this society because African men are powerless in European society. The oppression of African women historically and contemporarily is not based primarily on gender, but rather on culture, which of course it says race, but there's no such thing as race, it's culture. Today, both Caucasian women and men benefit from the abuse and dehumanization of African women and men across the globe. We are fighting a system, but it's internal that we as African people must purge ourselves of. We must purge ourselves of. We must fight. We have accepted the status quo that Europeans have always and will always control the world. Let me repeat. We have accepted the status quo that Europeans have and will always control the damn world. Dr. Amos Wilson writes in his book, African-Centered Consciousness Versus the New World Order, Garveyism in the Age of Globalism. He says, the assimilationist often accepts consciously or unconsciously, the idea that the Caucasian man will continue to rule the world. He bases this ideology and political action on the concept that somehow our destiny is not to overthrow the Caucasian, that our destiny is not to suppress and bring these people under control, but to heal them in some sort of way, to convert them, to even become part of them. Our destiny becomes not one that sees the very system, the very ideology upon which these oppressors move as one of sickness and insanity, and therefore in need of replacement by an African-centered, healthy ideology that comes out of our own self-knowing. And that's vitally important, dear brothers and sisters, that we must understand that we have to do this. It is our responsibility. No one else is going to do this for us but us. This leadership wants us to accept this sickness as normality and to follow these pathological beings into self-destruction. We have fooled ourselves into adopting the worst traits of our oppressor and fawned upon those attempts to emulate the better parts. Dr. Amos Wilson again says, bravely stated in the lecture on economics and nationhood, if you thought like Caucasians, you would want your own nations. You would want your own, you want to control your own neighborhoods. You would want to control your own economy. If you thought like Caucasians, you want to have your own military to control the resources in your own ground. If you thought like Caucasians, because that's what they have done. They shaped and fashioned reality in their image and interests. That's what power is. Power is not money. It's not voting. It's not none of that. It's not education or information. Knowledge is power. No, it's not. Power is the ability to define reality. That's what power is. We need to shape and fashion reality in our image and interest. That is power. The senseless killing of all the things that have happened, of Trayvon Martin, of George Floyd, Breonna Taylor, all of them will continue. Will continue. I remember back in Milwaukee when the sister got shot. It was a big deal. Young little sister got shot in her bedroom. Bullet through the, you know, it's just like the Caucasian here visiting his girlfriend. He's from England, visiting his girlfriend. He got shot while in the bed. Bullet came through the wall or went or whatever, shot him in the head, killed him. One may argue just a victim of circumstance. No. It's a victim of the terror that happens on a daily basis throughout this country and around the world. Violence in the African community exists for many reasons. However, many psychiatrists agree that self-hatred is a factor. Dr. Amos Wilson elaborates again. The problem, and I'll use this term I hate, black-on-black crime or black-on-black violence is a problem of a cultural misorientation, self-alienation, and self-hatred. What we are seeing manifest in this violence is an emulation of the cultural ways of our oppressor. We have internalized his ways. Psychiatrist James Gillian asserts in Violence, Reflections, and National Epidemic that violence is caused by shame and humiliation. To further exacerbate the states of affairs, African people lack the institutional power to properly retaliate when violence by another culture occurs in our community and cannot significantly improve conditions for the masses of our people, such as a low socioeconomic status, social deprivation, inadequate education, high unemployment, and the unjust criminal industrial complex. All of these factors, we can't do a damn thing about it. We can't change them. No matter how hard we try to protect our immediate families from the impact of racism, European, Caucasian extremism, racism, privilege, if the collective interests of all African people are not addressed, we're all in danger. We're all in danger. But I know, because this is America. America's based on individualism, racism, and privilege. Individualism, materialism. That's right. greed, and violence. That's America. Individualism, materialism, greed, and violence. Our success thrives on the platforms, race-based organization. Our success thrives on the platforms and institutions built and maintained by Caucasians. Tomorrow, if America was resegregated, we would be lost, destitute, and at war with each other, more so than we are right now. And we are constantly. To end on a positive note, despite the many perils of European, Caucasian extremism, racism, and privilege, white supremacy, African people would be significantly better off if we were organized around a central objective, the survival of our people, and the importance of us developing our culture. Europeans and Arabs are two of the most recent successful examples of people who organize along those lines above national identity. The French and the British have historically been at odds with each other, and that's true, culturally and political. However, they quickly reunite to fight against other non-Caucasian people. The Europeans have warred amongst themselves. When they came out of that last medieval time that and when the Moors were in Spain teaching them and so forth, so when Charlemagne and all the Martel and all those other got together, they said, well, listen, we have warred amongst ourselves, but let's come together on people outside of us. And they had their so-called Renaissance. Then they went around the world taking everybody's stuff in the name of Portugal, Spain, France, England, you name it. The Netherlands, the Dutch, they were all involved. And they were all involved at the Berlin Conference of 1884-85 when they carved up Africa after so many hundreds of years already enslaving African people. When I see what's happening in Europe, I just cringe because I hate it. Because that wealth that they have, the buildings they have, all of that was based on African wealth and the exploitation of Africa and African people. Let's open up the phone lines, brothers and sisters. Give me a call at 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. Or just hit, if you're in the queue, hit star twice. 404-404-453. Good afternoon.
Okay. How you be, my brother?
Research West, what's happening, man? How you doing today?
I'm still learning. Hey, look at him, man. When I was on the job, I did some research on white, on them devils, right?
Uh-huh.
When you be around them, just watch them. Okay? And what I did was, I reversed the stuff they did on us. So, mm-hmm. I talked to one of them, and I made up some bad comments about one of their own trying to get dude to say something bad against his folks. Mm-hmm. Oh, shit.
Uh-huh.
Hey, he wouldn't do it. They will not do it, man.
No, brother, they stick together. No, they're going to stick together no matter how they might fight amongst each other when it comes to people outside of them, and especially us. They're going to stick together. Yeah.
It was like, I'd be damned. They would not do it. And see, I consider, I'm like my man, what, Mark Lamont here, whatever his name is.
Yeah.
I consider all of them the same to one of them showed me that they're John Brown. Okay, and the one that I was working with, talking to, he told me, he said when he was around a bunch of them whites and they started talking bad about us black people, he checked them, man. So he said, you know, he mm-hmm. might have been lying. Mm-hmm. But he said he checked them. Every time he'd be around his folk and they talk that BS about us, he said he checked them. He ain't with them. He must have got a sister or something, man. You know what I'm saying? But mm-hmm. and Miss Mom B was right on the money, man. And see, look at him. I know, you know Walter Fontroy, right? You know the Fontroy mm-hmm. brothers, right?
Yeah, I know Walter Fontroy out of D.C. Mm-hmm.
Okay, I know his brother, Brother Ray, 85
okay.
years old. Brother
oh, wow,
Ray,
okay.
He used to be Dr. King's driver, man.
Okay.
Okay, he worked for Dr. King. But he told Dr. King he ain't going to the march because if one of them spit on him and hit him, he going to fight back, man. So most of the time, he wasn't ever in the picture. Because Dr. King told him to stay home, man. Okay, he a real soldier, man. Brother yeah. Ray about 85 years old, man. I right got to tell him. Maybe I might get him to call in sometime,
for sure.
Man.
That'll be interesting, yeah. Definitely.
Yes, sir. Brother Ray, he was right there, man. Mm-hmm. He lived in Miami. He was right there, man. He said they spit on him, hit him. He fighting back, man.
I know that's
he
right.
Said they, he said if they send one of us to the hospital in the wagon, okay, we got to put their ass in the hospital in the damn wagon. I mm-hmm. love Brother Ray, man. You're a real soldier, man. And right Dr. Mumby was correct, man. That Dr. Mumby lady was right
yeah.
on the money.
Oh, yeah, she's tough. I don't know if you have her. You can go online to get Dr. Mumby Saraka. She's out of Kenya. Right on.
Yeah. Because mm-hmm. I heard one thing she was saying about all these so-called black leaders over here and over Africa. What they do, they put a spell on the rest of us, man. They use the spell words. They put spells on us, man. They Pharaoh's magicians. She mm-hmm. broke it down, man. But see, this whole planet going through a reset, man. Okay? All this shit, Babylon coming to an end. Okay, their time is up, and mm-hmm. they know it. That's why they want to do all this interracial stuff and try to get, because they know they ain't making no more babies. Only mm-hmm. way they're going to survive is get our melanin. But they don't know. I hated that. Me and you discussed this before about this damn swirling. So, but then, what's the name? Dr. Carver, he broke it on right, man. Okay, he kept saying, yeah, this is swirling mix with us, and I couldn't get it. But then he realized that every time they mix with us, the baby going to come out black down there.
Mm-hmm.
Light-skinned kind of with nappy hair.
Right, because we're genetically superior. Our genes are stronger. The melanin is stronger. We're strong. We're the first human beings. We're the first human beings on the planet. You know, our DNA is stronger. African DNA is stronger. So our chromosomes are stronger. Yeah.
Yes, sir. So he did the research that. So I'm going to do it like saying like this. Let them keep messing with us. They're going to screw themselves out of existence, man.
Well, you're right. And see, Brother West, that's why they've been so firmly against the so-called race mixing.
Yeah.
Because they recognize, in fact, a Caucasian named Ben Wattenberg wrote a book about 40 years ago, 30, The Decline of the West. They're trying to prohibit race mixing and abortion. That's why they're trying to get so strongly against abortion, because they know their numbers are constantly dwindling. In fact, it is said that in 10 years from now, 2035 or a little over, 2040, they will be the numerical minority in this country. They will be the minority, with people of color being the majority. Now, understand this, I feel. It doesn't make any difference if they're the numerical minority, because why? Because they'll still be in control. They were never the numerical minority, a majority. They were never the numerical majority in South Africa and many other countries, but yet they still control them. And the same will happen here. Because, number one, this is theirs. Okay, go ahead.
Everything they do is calamity now, man. Okay, so their time is up. Everything they try to do to go up against us, it's going to be a failure, calamity. You can look and see what's happening, man.
Okay.
And nothing they do is going to be right no more. Their grip is gone, man. All we got to do, like you say, unify.
Unify.
Quit acting like a damn herd of cats. Quit acting like a herd of cats, man.
Yeah.
That's what we our black people got to quit. You ever tried to round up two cats and do something? Hell no.
They scatter here and there. Yeah, yeah. You're right.
Dude, we got to be the Black Panther, not no damn herd of cats.
I hear you,
okay,
brother.
And I'm gonna leave it like that, man. Let somebody else talk. And
right on.
Let you see you. Your job is to deprogram and reprogram, wake the dead up, man.
I try my
best,
brother.
You doing it?
I probably every Monday, Wednesday, Friday. That's what I try to do. That's what I try to do, brother.
Give yourself a heart attack, man. It's coming together, man.
Okay.
Don't give yourself a heart attack, man. We need you, man. You one of the generals in the army, man.
All right, okay? Brother West. Appreciate you.
Peace out, man. To be continued.
All right.
Listen to that song. Listen to that song, Try Jesus, Don't Try Me. I'm going to send it to you. All
right? Thanks, Wes.
Because I put their hands on their ass, they try me. I ain't no animal with forgiving nobody. They turn the other cheek.
No, hell with that.
I put my foot up their damn cheeks.
Okay, my brother.
I'll let you, man.
All right, peace.
Yes, sir.
Research Wes, y'all. That's good, brother. 215-215-554, good afternoon.
Brother Oshie,
yes,
peace and blessings. How are you?
I'm doing well. How you doing?
All right, this is ABC2.
Hey, my brother, how you been, man?
Brother, I keep waking up and I keep thinking, the Lord, that I breathe on my own, walk on my own, and see. And the rest I can make better. So every person I come across, I try to make it a positive reaction.
Right on.
So I want to add that young lady you had on earlier. 630 days ago, I used to go on the radio and I used to talk about the same exact thing. Mm-hmm. I told people this opportunity of this lockdown. See, you have to look at things in a different perspective. I said, for all of those who have not been close to your children or your family members, now is the opportune time to get to know them all over again. Mm-hmm. Secondly, it's the time for you to learn something new, a new language, learn a new diet, anything that will make you a better person. Mm-hmm. Now, I often talk to people and they have PhDs and, you know, degrees and all of that. And we don't agree because I'm a conspiracy theorist. Well, actually, I told them to conspire was before I was born. When you conspired against the queen, and it was off with your head.
Mm-hmm.
So how is it that I'm alive now and I see something which I believe I have a theory for, you have a theory for, but mine is a conspiracy theory.
Mm.
Now, I'm one person and I'm conspiring because I want to enlighten myself about something. So on that note, I tried to talk to people, family members, and we all don't see eye to eye.
Right.
So I'm happy where I'm at. All I can do is enlighten them and bring them closer to God. Now, I want to give you the blueprint out that I did 17 years ago. Through my salary, what I did was I moved back into the ghetto. And when I moved back into the ghetto, I started a program for children out of my pocket. And then I had Children's Hospital and a few organizations mm-hmm. trying to infiltrate it and take it for their own. But I refused. So through all those years, I helped all of these children learn how to read, physical fitness, swimming, hand-to-hand, boxing, and also firearm proficiency.
Mm, great.
So, yes, sir. Most of those people, I had to let them know that there's a foundation you must build on. And you can't believe everything that everyone is telling you. These people have designed and have been running this game for so long that it's normal for people. People are used to it and just loving it. They can't get their mind out of this, this matrix. So What I taught all of these children, and by the way, most of them have graduated and left the community, went to college, and stayed off the streets.
Right on.
But then I told my neighbors, I said, the reason why I moved here, and they always liked the things I did with my house, and when they'd ask about it, I would buy it for them. I would do it for them because I believe that in order to make your community better and for them not to loathe you is to share what you have. So it's not like having the better house on the block is going to make you any safer.
Right.
So I told these neighbors of mine, I said, you need to come out of your house and stop being afraid of the youth like I do. Mm-hmm. You can't do anything on my block without me coming out of the house. So my block is quiet and they know it. So the young people and even the ones that need our help, which are the drug dealers, which are the thugs and the ones that are going through the hardships, is the one I approach. I see them walking around with their head down. I ask them, what's wrong? What's going on in your family? What do you need? When they need money for school, clothes, or anything, I give it to them. And I'm going to explain something. I have no idea how I did this all these years on my small salary. And that's from the Almighty. And that's my
right.
foundation. And that's what I taught them.
Yeah, you give. Because you give, you are able to give more. That, you know, the universe is assist and help you because they know the goodness that you do and the help that you provide. And so in order for that to continue, they provide for you to do it. Because it's not like you're going to get it and hoard it. Or just do something for yourself, you're going to share it. And because you do, you know what? Me too. I see my bank account sometimes like, damn, I thought, you know, I didn't have that much, but I have more. And so I help. I'm always about, the whole thing about this program is for us to help each other, to come into the consciousness of what we need, which is functional unity. And you provide that by showing that, you know? Yeah. I agree, brother.
Let me add this because I know you have a lot more callers. I told my neighbors who have nice cars, they don't come out their house and they're always peeking out their window. I said, let me explain something how it looks to you. When you come home from your job, you make sure your alarm is on your car. You run in your house. You don't look at the neighbors. You don't look at the people who may be needing your help to get close to where you are. You run in your house. You put your top lock, your bottom lock. You go down the line and put all your locks on. Then you run to the window. You look out, make sure nobody's sitting or leaning on your car. The next day, you repeat the process over and over again. Then one day you come home and your house has been broken. The first thing these people do is look at the people that's on the block and say, I know little Ray Ray did this shit. And you talk bad about him when Ray Ray could have seen and know something about it because he looks through the neighborhood. He knows everything that's going on. Instead, you make him the criminal instead of going to him and having a rapport with him at an early stage where you have a relationship. And then some of the stuff will be prevented.
Right.
But because people are afraid of their neighbors. They don't want to talk to the children, and the children are the future. It's like you have left them out on an island to be picked off by this country.
Mm-hmm.
So I just tell people, find a way to help someone else. And if you can't do that, help yourself. Get your health together. Get your mind together. I taught myself Spanish. I've learned, so I cook on my own. I cut my own hair. I do all of this stuff because I do it with my hands in idle times.
Mm-hmm.
If people cannot get back to themselves and to their community, it's not going to work, brother.
That's right.
Peace and love. Thanks for the show, brother.
Oh,
and that
man.
Woman was right. They did a psychological op on people.
That's right.
And made them disassociate themselves from themselves. They have split personalities. They don't want to live, and they're dying to get in the grave, my brother.
Wow.
Peace and blessings.
Peace and blessings, my brother. Thank you so much. It's always good to see you call. And I hope that you can continue to call and continue to listen, man. I appreciate it. 334-334, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Brother Oshie. How are you?
I am doing well, Brother Ted Lusk. What's happening?
How
was the weekend? How was the weekend, brother?
It was nice and quiet.
Good.
You know, but I'm just listening and enjoying these comments. I don't think, wow. After the last caller, all I think I could do is just act now and to go into motion.
Yes.
And for me, it is kind of tough, especially where I am, in that everyone has cordoned themselves off into their own utopias,
sure.
into their
right.
own spheres of existence, right?
Right.
And so to try to break that barrier across your line of demarcation and their line of demarcation, it's tough. I think it's because of the fact that there's this thing called trust. And it is so hard to come by now. And so one really, I think, has to really look at one's self. And what Sister Mumbai had made mention about protecting your consciousness, one has to at least look themselves in the mirror and I think really come to grips with where they are and who they are right now. It's really tough. It's like I said, especially where I am, in that how do you make that linkage to be able to work towards a common ground or goal? So, yeah, it's really,
yeah.
There's some great comments. I don't think I can follow through. It's just a matter of putting things into action now.
Well, brother, based upon what you have told us over the years now that we have communicated and what you have shown and what you have sent me shows that you're a very conscious brother, that you're willing to do a lot to help your immediate community and African people at large. And you've done that, man, and just hope you continue to do that because that's what it takes to be that example.
Yeah, and thank you so very much because I think the position that I see myself is trying to be of service. How can I be of service?
Right.
How can I be of assistance to make things better? I'm not endowed with a whole lot of money. I have some time, but I have to, I guess, you know, do what I can with what I got.
That's right.
But how could I be of assistance?
Mm-hmm.
How could I make that change in order to make things
right.
better? And so I think about education, for example, because of the fact that I think one of the dilemmas that we've run into is this thing called grading. You know, especially in the area of education, we're always doing these things by somebody else's standards.
Mm-hmm.
And so what are our standards by which we operate under, right? And try to make things better for ourselves in this case. But we got to have the A's, right? We got to have the B's. That separates us out from those who have the C's and D's, et cetera. And, yeah. And is that really necessary? Mm-hmm. Really, is that really all necessary? I think individuals come into their own time and space with regards to an acknowledgement of what they've learned and how much they've acquired. So I think sometimes this grading thing has really blown people way out of proportion.
That's the stratification of this society of those who have and those who have not, those who are the A's, the B's, the C's, and D's, and the F's or the U's.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
And it's also about individualism. You know, as I say all the time, America's about individualism, materialism, greed, and violence. And that's why it's very hard to establish family life. That's why it's very hard to establish community. That's why it's very hard to have, complementarity in family, you know, because it's all about what's in it for me. How can I get mine? How can I get over, you know?
Right.
And as opposed to saying, what can we do together? How can we make things better? And that's what you do, brother. You're constantly trying to figure out where can I fit in? What can I do to help? You know, and that's what I do. What can I do to help us? Yep. So
very good. Very good. Well, it's always, it's a pleasure. And then I'm a listener and also to partake in your activities with regards to this programming and other programming
on
the Black Talk Network. This is something I really wish, I have the phone. We have a medium from which to operate, to listen and to interject and try to make better. So you just can't beat it with what Brother Richard and Brother Elliot has done and all the rest of the people that's part of the programming.
Right on. Appreciate it, brother. I really do, brother.
Peace and blessings, brother.
You too.
Peace.
Peace. Yeah, Brother Ted Lusk, Theodore Lusk. Man, he's outstanding. I can't wait to meet him. I really can't. And I hope to hope that this thing stops to subside. I'd like to go to Montgomery and visit the museum and the memorial again and break bread with that brother. He's a good brother. 414-507, 414-507.
Hey, Brother Oshie.
Nah, what's up, Brother LaRue Ned? How you doing, man?
Hey, man, I'm doing well. I don't know if I can top any of them comments that have been coming down.
Yeah.
So I'm going to let see if there's some more following.
All right.
I'm just going to listen.
All right, my brother. We got time, so do that. All right. You bet.
All right.
404-404. Queen.
Yeah, Brother Oshie, is this me?
Yes, it is.
Queen.
It's Queen. It's Queen Lumumba, family. How you doing today?
Family.
How you doing today, dear?
I'm good.
Good.
I'm good.
Good.
Being uplifted today.
Yeah.
And I'm so glad to have heard your programming today. It really uplifted me.
Good. Well, I'm trying to put something. Hey, Queen, I'm trying to put something on our minds. That's what I used to tell. That's what I used to tell the young people I work with back in Milwaukee in my off days from being a firefighter. And so on my off days, I would go to schools and talk to groups of young people, you know, and I would tell them, I'm gonna tell you things and teach you things that you would not get in this school about yourself.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to put something on your mind. I'm trying to get you to think outside of the imposed boundaries that Europeans have placed you in, to get you to think, you know, independently, collectively.
Yes.
You know.
Yes. Ashe. And that brings me to my point of leadership and all of the comments that the previous brothers have made, that you're leaders. Everybody's not going to be a leader. But if you have your consciousness, you have become a leader because you're not the mass way of thinking, the mass mentality that we have today.
Right.
So every one of you can do something. You know, you can gather your neighbors to bring their children to share and to learn and to know and to grow each other as we used to do. You can do that.
Mm-hmm.
You can do that much. You can go to the schools and monitor the schools. It don't cost you nothing.
Right.
Be the change. Be the change. Mm-hmm. You can do that.
Yeah.
I want to say Ashe and thank you, brother in Philly, who moved back to his neighborhood. I never left. I couldn't leave.
Right.
I couldn't, because I know what affects them affects me. I knew that. And so I feel and live and see, and I am with the community, the village, every single day of my life. And I know what they feel.
Yeah.
And I know what they see. So we, you know, you have become conscious, have experienced that shift of consciousness that the sister was talking about. You have a duty. I don't care how small it is, but we all have a duty. We all play a part.
That's right.
And self-determination, the part of the Nguzu Saba, we have the right to determine who we are and how we think and what we're going to do. What is the end game? What is the end game? We have to start looking at the end game.
I say.
And thinking ahead because these people are 100 years ahead of us in thinking. They've already planned it. So we may not be there, but we have to plant the seeds and start thinking ahead today, not being so reactionary, because we have all the genius within us to start thinking ahead and planting the seeds and telling them children that you talk to and invest in to come back and invest in in your people.
That's right. If somebody has done it for you, you pay it forward, you come back and you do it for somebody. That's right.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. We have to remind them to do that. We have to remind them that I don't care who you are, where you go, what labels you put on yourself. You must come back and contribute to where you came from, our ancestors. You must do. You have a duty. I don't care where you live at, how much money you require. You must not forget who you are, where you come from.
Mm-hmm.
You must not. Also, we have to connect globally.
Yeah.
We have to start looking at that. And we talked about it over 50 years, but we have to once again start connecting globally.
Well,
I just told a brother from Mali, look, you speak French, that ain't nothing to be proud of. You ain't never been to France.
That's right.
Why you think you speak in French?
Yeah.
So we must do this. We have a duty to those who have gone before us. We have a duty. We must reach out to the global community.
Right. I reject.
Right, they look at us.
Yeah. It's our responsibility. We have every right to help liberate Africa. That is, to me, that is our end game, the liberation of Africa, of getting rid of all of those people, the Chinese, because I may do it real soon. This article I read on the Chinese have established its own Berlin conference, because the amount of Chinese that are in various countries in Africa who are promising to do this, that, and the other, and when African countries cannot meet the obligations that they stated, they take.
I heard that too.
Yeah, they'll take the airport, take the roads, take this, take that.
They're on the land.
Yeah. Yeah.
So we must educate our brothers and sisters at home who they are and who they're dealing with and what is that end game.
Yeah. Because the Chinese saying that there's a plan by the Chinese in the next 20 some years to place 300 million Chinese in Africa. Well, you know, Chinese, they got 1 billion people, so you know, that still leaves 700 million there. But 300 million people to be placed on the continent of Africa. You know.
And for what reason?
To live. To control it. To live. To control the land. To control it.
To control the resources.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Yes, to make
Africa.
Sleeping giant.
Yeah. To make Africa a place of production for Chinese. And
China.
The world, for all those who deal with China, you know?
To be world domination, we must stop it now.
And so
we have to.
So another article I read that the America and the West, Europe and so forth, said, no, we can't have China have control like that. We got to be a player in that too. So we're going to fight against them by investing. See, Europe didn't do that. They just took. And in fact, when so-called independence came in the 60s, late 50s into the 60s, they destroyed what they had brought there, especially the French. That's why I can't stand their ass. Everything that they did in the colonization when they had to give it up. But although there are more French colonized still today on the continent than any other country, still the French, you know, not so much the British, but the influence of the British, the French, and whoever else is still profoundly there and competing with the Chinese. Yeah, they are. They're Europeans. They're all the same. And that's why, to me, that's why, to me, Africans here in America specifically need to hook up with Africans on the continent to kick their ass out and develop Africa for ourselves. This is our only salvation. This is our only, it ain't damn that Jesus. It ain't no damn religion. It ain't Islam. The only salvation is unity of African people. The only reason why shit is happening to us the way it does is because we lack unity. Everywhere on the damn planet, we are dogged out. Everywhere we go, we seek some refuge or some belonging, we are dogged out. Because the only place that we can have it is on the continent of Africa. I appreciate you, Queen. Continue to listen, dear.
Thank you, my brother. And we must, the struggle continues.
Always.
We must unite and unite Africa now. We must do it now. We'll talk soon.
All right.
Peace and much love to all of y'all.
All right, Queen. Queen Lumumba. 646, good afternoon.
Hey, Ochi, what's happening, brother? How you been?
I've been fine, brother. How you doing, Jay? How was your weekend, man? Everything good?
Oh, man, it was good. How was yours?
Good, good. As I said, you probably didn't hear, but my grandson's basketball team, they won the championship for the second year, 2 years in a row, the middle school championship. Oh, and he was instrumental.
Man, always glad to hear that.
Yep, and he was instrumental in the win.
You know, the goal is for him to get a scholarship, man.
That's right.
It ain't nothing but BS, bro.
Exactly. Because the amount of cats who make it into the NBA or get a chance to get paid but for playing is minuscule, it's minute. But you can utilize that skill to get that education and to better your life going forward and to be able to do something going even further by having that skill where you can do something to help people. You're right.
I always think about this young kid out of St. John's, man, top-rated player, went to the NBA a little too quick, Omar Cook, and he never really made the NBA.
Yeah.
But he went overseas, like, I think 20 years ago, and he's still playing now, became a citizen in the country that he went to, and basically that made him for the last living, a living, probably paying them over $250,000 U.S. dollars to play a basketball game maybe once or twice a week.
Okay.
At best.
Okay.
And, you know, there's those type of opportunities, man. And I know the man is happy. You know what I mean? Because he's been able to forge a very good life for himself.
Right.
Now, did he make the NBA? No. But I would probably say he's economically probably better off by not making the NBA because he wouldn't have been able to stay in the league for that long of a period of time and made that type of income unless he was on a certain level. But you were talking earlier about China, and I was thinking about earlier this whole situation with Russia, China, and the Ukraine. And basically, what it boils down to is the U.S. trying to hold on to their position in NATO and punk the Chinese and the Russians. But what they don't realize is the Russians and the Chinese ain't going for that bullshit.
No, they're not.
You know what I mean?
They're not.
They're not going to let you punk them.
You know what I mean?
Because there's no reason to get punked.
Right.
You know? Now, the thing that our people don't understand, because we really, if we be honest, don't understand geopolitics, is that what's going on over there at the Ukraine basically set aside with NATO is exactly what was going on in 1962 with America and Cuba. You can't go to somebody's country and be that close to them if you're an adversary. The America can't go to Ukraine and try to set up shop and be that close to Russia.
Right.
That's just not humanly possible. I mean, nobody in their right mind would allow that. Mm-hmm. And the thing is, why Russia's never really ever made a real serious move on the Ukraine anyway is because Ukraine is not really of no value. They don't produce anything.
Yeah, what resources? Well, they may have some resources there that Russia may covet.
Yeah, but they ain't of that greater significance.
Yeah.
To have invaded them, because if that was the case, they would have invaded them years ago. And if they really wanted to do their thing with them, they would get it when the retards
right.
in office 2 years ago.
I guess.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah. So I guess what you know, Russia wants to maintain a buffer, you know, that they've had years ago, decades ago, where they had the ability to do whatever they want to do because they had these other countries. Yugoslavia and them has a buffer between NATO, which is the western part of Europe, and what's happening on the Russian.
It's a good first step, but you can do more. Always keep your guns locked, unloaded, and stored separately from ammunition.
Oh, sorry about that, don't you?
Okay. Okay. So, but anyway.
Yeah, but the point of the matter is no country allows an adversary to get that close to them to be in the situation to cause any type of danger, and the Russian and the Chinese ain't gonna do it. It's not like America is superior to them economically or militarily, and that's the madness that these sycophants in America always think that America is bad.
They feel that white folks, Europeans in America, must dictate to the world. They must control the world.
You can bully.
Yeah.
You don't do that to no power like Russia and China, because China and Russia, they just basically laugh at you, and because I guess they have enough discipline that they don't tell you to go ahead and F yourself. You know, like they really should. But then you have to ask yourself, why would I, as a black man, want to go and lose my life over this bullshit?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? I could charge the NATO countries more for natural gas?
Well, I look at it this way, Jay, in what's happening now for us. I say, if you want to stay in their military, you want to stay in their situation, you do that. For those of us who want to, you know, understand what this end game is going to be. Because here in this country, they talking about civil war. Now, it ain't going to be no damn civil war. But whose side do we fight on?
Yeah.
If we're not fighting on our side, that means for liberation of African people, then you foolish to fight to help maintain and sustain the privilege that these crackers have. Just simply because, they're talking about this civil war between Republicans and Democrats. You know, the conservatives and the liberals.
And listen, but even deeper, always this. You talk about democracy around the world, but shit, you ain't even gonna have
right
democracy in this country in the next 2 years. It's gonna be totally gone. The beginning is gonna be in November, and then it's gonna be finished in November. And then what are you gonna say?
Well, to me, they've never had it, Jay.
We as a people, unfortunate. Oh, I'm sorry to say it. We go in effing backwards as a people, collectively, on the whole. We go in effing backwards because we chasing after an oppressive people that don't want to do anything to make our lives better, but just want to be in a more oppressive position. It's sad.
It is, brother. I appreciate you, Jay. Got to get ready to go, man. So, hope you can listen.
All right, brother.
Hope you can listen on Wednesday. I got Brother Bomani Tahimba talking about some good things that are happening on the continent that he's involved in and still trying to help get some of our people to at least to visit, let alone to repatriate and to invest on the continent. So it'd be a good discussion. So I hope you can listen, Brother Jay. You have a good day, my man.
Hotep, enjoy the day.
You too,
my brother.
You bet.
All right.
Peace. Hotep. Brothers and sisters, we end this program like we end all of our programs with the words of Stephen Biko. The most potent weapon in the hands of the oppressor is the minds of the oppressed. This program is dedicated and committed to helping to free the African mind. But not just the M-I-N-D, but the M-I-N-E. Because under the feet of African people lies all of the resources that everybody wants, think they can't do without, and they sure in the hell, damn it, don't want to pay for. Brothers and sisters, you have a blessed and wonderful day. Shem Hotep means go in peace. Asante Sana means thank you. Abivahodier means our victorious destiny. Brothers and sisters, we will be victorious. You have a blessed day. I hope to see you Wednesday. Be safe, family. Peace.